is Run Hunter, brought to you by Raider Media.
Coming up on the show, I chat to SA running legend Bruce Fordyce. Look ahead to the weekend's big race in Joburg, namely the Bobby's Half Marathon. Steve Hill gives his best tech advice for running. Darren Kubel-Brahm unpacks his comrades' knowledge know-how. And we profile a young but extremely popular club, Run Zone. What a tune, what an intro, how catchy is that? I didn't sing it, by the way. I'm Derek Alberts. Welcome to Run Hunter, episode one. It's a passion project of mine. It's been a passion project of mine for a couple of years, but I never got it off the ground. Finally, it's happening. A new year, a new resolution, a new podcast. And really, it's just to talk about running in South Africa. It will mainly focus on the happenings in and around Gauteng, but we'll definitely try our best to get further out there as far as the greater South Africa is concerned. With regards to events or anything of the like, you can get hold of us if you've got a race to preview, review, anything you want to talk about regarding running. Get a hold of us. So you can email me at info@raiderMedia. That's Raider, R-A-Y-D-E-R .media. Or you can get hold of me on Twitter. It's @DerekAlberts1. Yeah, welcome to episode one. The idea is that we just keep on talking about running with regards to any subject. And featuring interviews with some big names. You heard in the intro, don't really get much bigger than Bruce Fordyce. So I caught up with him, and you'll hear from him a little later in the show. So yeah, welcome to episode one. Hope you'll enjoy. Gonna hit the ground running. So, looking back at the big weekend of racing, plenty of races around the country, but arguably the biggest took place here in Johannesburg. It was the ever-popular Johnson Crane Higher Marathon, which once again attracted thousands to the streets of Benoni this past weekend. It's notoriously flat and fast, and the first big one of the year. The 9,000 athletes who took on either the 42K or the 21K distances were in attendance, while a further 4,000 competed in 10K or 5K routes. I remember doing the 5K back about 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was my second race. Would have been my second race ever in Johannesburg. Disappointingly so. But luckily improved since then. Not by much, though. Well done, as always, to Benoni Harriers Athletic Club for putting on a superb event. And as for the results, Polani Buthelezi from Marion Roberts Running and Karela Hubert from Boxer Athletic Club, they won the 10K in the half marathon. It was again runners from those two clubs who took podium places. Boxer's Lucky Mokgala bagged first place in the half. Marion Roberts' Olympian marathon athlete Christine Carmer claimed the top women's podium. And then in the big one, the full marathon, it was Joseph Manyesi of Anglo-American Athletic Club who claimed first in a time of 2 hours, 23 minutes and 47 seconds. And 2016 Comrades Marathon Women's Champion Shanae Bosman, who's now running for Marion Roberts, incidentally, she defended her Johnson Crane crown with a quick time of 2 hours, 44 minutes and 52 seconds. So a great race that was. Well done to all the athletes that competed, all the finishers, and even those that just got over the starting line. Really an event that we all look forward to in Johannesburg and from around the country. I know plenty of people flew down for the event, given the fact that it's certainly not the hardest race in the world, and it really does allow you to get that comrades qualifier and get that out of the way so early in the year. But now let's look ahead to what we can expect this weekend in Joburg. Gonna hit the ground running. Right, looking ahead to one of the major races on the Johannesburg running calendar taking place this weekend. Now, it was about 4 or 5 years ago where I took on my first ever road race in Johannesburg. I wasn't much of a runner back then. Not much of a runner now, but I do a hell of a lot more of it. And it was the Bobby's 21K road race. And that takes place at Greenstone Mall. Now, I didn't do the 21. I didn't do the 10. I did the measly 5K fun run. Since then, I have managed to progress somewhat. But on the line now, we've got one of the main organizers, Dion Ellis. Dion, big weekend ahead. Excited?
Yes, pretty excited and quite a bit stressed as well to get everything together for the weekend. But looking forward to the weekend.
Talk us through the logistics of organizing a race of this magnitude. I mean, of course, this is your numero uno for the year. And I mean, how far in advance do preparations begin?
Well, we left it a little bit late last year when we started our things, but we got the Greenstone Running Club together, and they assisting us with the organizing. But yes, it takes quite a lot of hours of administration and putting things together, risk management and risk plans and risk assessments and all those things that are required from the jock when we present our race. So yes, there's quite a lot of things going into race organizing that I don't think people will ever realize how much work goes into it.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I think that just being in the vicinity of any race, you can understand that there's a lot of work involved. But yeah, we take our hats off to you nonetheless. Now, you mentioned Greenstone Hill Running Club. Great to have them on board. But of course, they're not the official club hosting this. It's you guys. Can you tell us a bit more about you guys?
Yes, we are the SAPS Gauteng Athletics Club. We've been around for quite a long time. We used to host this event in the Mayfair area in Johannesburg. And then we moved to Greenstone. This is the sixth year that we will be hosting it at Greenstone Shopping Center. And looking forward to it, the race has definitely grown quite a lot. Last year we had around 3,000 entrants for the three distances. And we're probably looking at around 3,000 to 3,500 for this year again.
Lovely. And entry-wise, as always, I'm sure that competitors can enter on the day, but ideally you want them to try and snap up entries beforehand.
Yes, correct. We have online entries. They're still open. They will close on the 31st of January, but it's still available, and we will also sell late entries at the venue on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, as well as on race day before the event.
Entry fees?
Entry fees for the 21, it's 150 Rand for the 21, 120 for the 10K, and then obviously the Grandmasters pay less. I think it's 60 Rand for the 21 and 50 Rand for the 10. And then it's 40 Rand for the fun run, the 5K fun run.
Can you tell
and
us?
And then there's license fees involved. People that are not registered club runners, they have to buy 10 licenses as well. Which will be 30 Rand for the 10 and 35 Rand for the 21, basically.
Can you tell us a bit more about the route itself? As far as I remember, it is a double lap. And I remember the ending being really great, one of the better ones in Johannesburg that I've enjoyed. A nice leisurely downhill for the last 4 or 5 Ks, if I remember, before looping back up. And then you've got that gradual incline towards the finish over at Greenstone.
Yes, it's a double lap route, the 21, the double lap of the 10 with the extra loop for the make up the other kilometer. It starts at the entrance of entrance 4 of Greenstone, then it goes through Edenvale and Iliendale area with a bit of a climb in Terrace Road, and then it's gradually sort of undulating, but very little climbs other in Modderfontein Road, and then it's flat again, and then you get about 700 meter steep climb just before the finish for the 10K, and then the 21 will do that climb twice.
Oh, I cannot wait. So for those wanting still to enter, log on to bobbies21.co.za and 6 a.m. start on Sunday, and that is the 3rd of February. Thanks so much, Dion. We'll see you Sunday. Gonna hit the ground running. So that race taking place on Sunday, but there's always a race on Saturday, every Saturday, everywhere in the country and beyond. The man responsible for having brought the famed park run to South Africa is none other than Bruce Fordyce. Gonna hit the ground running. Now, there's a buzzword that's been flying around a lot lately in sport journalism. It's an acronym, namely GOAT. And I went on Twitter today saying that it's a word that I really can't stand because ideally it needs to be only applied to a select few, yet I don't think a day goes by where I don't hear it. It's an acronym that stands for greatest of all time. However, there is one man that it could surely apply to from a South African road running perspective. He's the man that's really done it all, and he's conquered the greatest race of all, the Comrades Marathon, 9 times consecutively, doing so between 1981 and 1990. 81 was a good one. I was also born there, so it's a start of many great things. Bruce Fordyce, thanks for joining us. How are you doing, and what are you up to these days?
I'm great. I'm still running, Derek. 1981, wow. That's, I didn't realize I was talking to somebody so young. to be part of my running group, we've got a group called the Pensioners. To be part of my running group, we ran this morning. You have to remember what you were doing when you heard that Kennedy was assassinated. You have to be able to name all 4 Beatles.
Okay.
And you have to say, and you have to tell, everyone which of the 3 Apollo 11 astronauts did not walk on the moon.
Oh, wow.
And then you're in. So you would probably fail on at least a couple of those, Derek.
Well, we've got the Beatles, so that's what, it's Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael. I'd get the Beatles. Obviously, I wasn't around with JFK, and then the Apollo. Which ones didn't walk on the moon?
Which one? There were 3 of them. There's always one astronaut when Apollo. The reason we're talking Apollo is that this is the 50th anniversary of the landing on the moon, and they did go. I can't stand those conspiracy theory people.
Yeah.
They did go. They did land, and they were completely astonishing, and so were the 7 other missions after them. But it was Michael Collins who had to remain behind in the mothership while Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong walked on the moon.
I've got a very close friend who is an absolute space nut, and I wouldn't have got Michael Collins, so he's definitely going to chastise me for that. But, Bruce, 1981 was your first one, and it also coincided with the famous black armband protest of yours.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so the armband protest was the fact that the 1981 Comrades was suddenly, at the 11th hour, incorporated into the Republic Day Nationalist Government apartheid celebration of 20 years of apartheid rule. And it was because it was Republic Day in those days, May the 31st, and the Nationalist Government decided to hold a whole lot of celebratory tank parades and fly past and various sort of almost Hitlerjugend type celebrations, and politicians wagging their fingers at us, you know, with Homburg hats on. And to its shame, our comrades agreed to be one of those events. And so it became the 1981 Comrades, which was the Republic Day Comrades Marathon, with the old flag attached to all the literature you got. And there were a whole lot of people who withdrew immediately. And then there were a few, like me, selfishly, who thought, I don't want to withdraw because I've got a good chance of winning this thing, who decided our compromise would be to wear black armbands to show our displeasure with that decision. And so it was quite a naive thing to do when I look back at it in those days, because I thought, yeah, you can show that you're not happy. Well, I was the most hated runner on the course. You know, you can't find a single South African now who would say that they voted for the old regime, but I can promise you there were hundreds of them along that road that day and other runners. And I got pelted with tomatoes and eggs and booze. I was not alone, by the way, with armband. I was just a prominent one in the front.
But I won, you know, and I won with a record. So that was the kind of, to all the people who were booing me along the way. And I was a very unhappy winner, and it was a very unhappy Comrades Marathon that year.
Yeah.
But I'm still incredibly proud of what I did, and I was very young, very naive, and I think I pat myself on the back for that. I've made many, many mistakes in life, but that was the right decision that day.
Yeah, as do we. And I mean, that was the start, as I mentioned, of nine consecutive Comrades victories. What do you hail as your best or most impressive along the way?
My 1983 uprun with Adrian Steed doing a wonderful commentary and Chariots of Fire playing as I came up Polly's. I was never tired. I don't remember being tired at all. I remember being completely in control. And I flew up Polly's and I won by 15 minutes. So that was pretty good. But it's hard, you know, then 1986 downrun against Bob Delamotte and Hosea Charlie. Was the fastest Comrades I ever ran, and tactically I didn't make a single mistake. I ran it perfectly planned. Well, the other two guys knew that I was going to go on 45th cutting because that's the hill 8Ks to go on the down run. They knew I would go. I knew I would go, and I did. And that was, and I could never get a big gap on them because they were magnificent runners. That was planned, pre-planned, and went to plan. Yeah. Probably those. You know, 88 uprun, I improved on my 83 time. And I was the first person to break 5.5 hours going up. So that also, you know, it's a funny thing. If you've got a lot of wins in something, they're like your children. You know, there's the naughty one, the bad one, the good one, the brilliant one. You know, so I'm fond of them all.
Well, having a look at those times, I mean, 83 you mentioned, so that was 5:30:12, and then 86.
Yes, the 12 seconds hurt.
I can imagine. Jeez, just yeah. Close to breaking the 5:30. But then, you eventually did it pretty quickly to break the 5:30, and then you mentioned that 86 time, 5:24:07, and that still stands as your quickest.
No. It's been broken, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's been broken, yeah.
But yours was, that was still your best. And
that's my 5, yeah. I didn't ever run faster than that, yeah.
How many Comrades have you done now in total?
30, Derek, can you believe that? Yeah, I've done 30 Comrades.
Jeez,
but I mean, I'm a youngster, you know, those guys like Barry Holland and Louis Messain are doing their, 47th, their 48th. 30, you're a novice still, according to those guys.
I'd love to hear the questions that they have to answer to get into their running club. Are you planning on doing it this year?
No, Derek. I think I'm almost finished with Comrades, but I say almost because you never know, and there's 100 is coming up. But finally, after all these years, my right knee is really a bit dodgy. And so I'm going to try and nurse it through the 50th Two Oceans this year. And Two Oceans also very close to my heart. So that's going to be a wonderful celebration, 50 years of the Two Oceans. And I'm sure there'll be a special medal and a special party, and it'll be good to be part of it. And I will be bringing up the rear, not too many people behind me, but it's a chance. I think that will be my last Two Oceans. It's a chance to say goodbye to Fishhook Circle and Musenberg and Little Chapman's and Constantia Nick. And yeah, I think probably my last one.
Wow. So a potentially iconic race, seeing the last running of Bruce Fordyce at the Two Oceans. And unfortunate about there being a party afterwards, because I know that you hate a party.
I hate a party. Yeah. No, I'm hoping for the party before and afterwards. just not the Friday night before we run. You know, a couple of nights before that.
Bruce, you mentioned you went for a run today. I mean, just apart from Comrades, apart from the likes of Two Oceans, how often are you running? Still getting out on the road very often, despite your injuries.
Yeah. No, I run every day. So I run every day a minimum of 10Ks. I don't have a continual streak, if you know what I mean, because from time to time, that every day is interrupted by travel or foul weather or, you know, or work commitments. But I'll go 10 days in a row without having an interruption easily.
Oh, man.
I
take my hat off to you. I was just in Peru, and I decided that on the 1st of Jan, I'd make it my absolute mission to run every single day for the rest of the year, or for the year. And I think the streak broke on the 3rd of January, unfortunately. So
that streaking becomes very difficult. I met the ultimate streaker, Ron Hill, from the UK at the London Marathon 1 year. And Ron ran every single day from a day in April 1964.
Wow.
He ran every single day. And then eventually he had some heart issues. He's in his 70s now. He had some heart issues, and his family begged him to stop. His minimum run was a mile.
That is
so incredible. Over the years, he's run at least a mile, so 1.6Ks, at least that, with flu, with a broken ankle. Because of the international timeline, I think he's had to run around the departure lounges of airports and stuff like that in order to not miss a day or gain a day. And his response when his doctors and his family said, thank goodness I'm off that conveyor belt, he said it was becoming a nightmare. I'm sure for all those years, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Jeez, you're continuously tracing the dragon, so to speak. Bruce, yeah. You were instrumental in bringing parkrun to South Africa.
Yeah.
And that has changed the running game in this country, unbelievably so. I mean, it goes from strength to strength. And I contacted you yesterday regarding the photo that I saw of the new one taking place at Wits. I think it's been going for about 3 months now.
Yeah, so parkrun is really, now I'm completely addicted, and I actually can become evangelical about it. So you have to just stop me if I do, but it's the most astonishing thing and the thing of which I'm proudest. My friends have said my comrades mentor for myself, and if I inspired a couple of other people to run, that's great. But parkrun is legacy stuff. I mean, we started with one in November 2011, and 26 people came, and next week, we will have our 1 millionth registration, and we will have 180 different venues. And I'm off to Graafrenet to start Parkrun Graafrenet on Saturday. Wits is one of them. We're all over. So we're everywhere that you can imagine. There is a parkrun on a Saturday morning. You take your barcode, it's free. You can walk. You can be large. You can be out of shape. No one's going to laugh at you. You should call it park walk. And they will take your time. Yeah, and it's everywhere from Springbok to the foothills of the Drakensberg to the beaches. We're in Namibia. Namibia started. Swaziland's about to get its second one. And if it weren't for the troubles going on in Zimbabwe, we'd be launching in Zimbabwe right now. So we're going up into Africa. And, yeah, there's some other minor sports. I'm going to sound very arrogant now, but there's other minor sports like football, rugby, cricket, netball, those sorts of things. Why would you bother? No one goes to those things. This last Saturday morning, two Saturday mornings ago, we had 64,000 people running.
Your 1 million registrations, you say, in about a week's time?
Yeah, we're already preparing all the kind of the media stuff. It will happen on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday next week.
Wow.
The millionth barcode will be printed. Not all those million have participated. Some enter and then get cold feet. And so I almost want to talk to him and say, come along, we just don't want all 1 million to arrive on one day. But it's 1 million, and we're 7 years old. So the frightening thing for us is, what will we be when we're a teenager?
Yeah.
The word parkrun, will enter the English lexicon. It will be a word that everybody knows exactly what parkrun means. It means 5K free timed run on a Saturday morning. Don't forget your barcode. That is what it means.
I think it's entered already into the lexicon, to be honest. I don't know a single person that doesn't know what a parkrun is. And I'm talking across the board, whether I'm talking to a 10-year-old or a 50-year-old, and whether into a sport or not. I mean, everyone knows Saturdays are parkrun days.
Yep, they are. We will know we truly arrived when the two oceans have to shift to a Sunday.
Well, no, who knows?
We're not that arrogant. That's one of the Saturdays. Yeah, that's one of the Saturdays I miss park on.
Well, maybe you can make it one of your demands when you call it quits with your final two oceans. You can say, "Well, I hereby decree that it will now be run on a Sunday."
No, I think they'll be waving. They'll be glad to wave back at me. You know, to see the back of me. But I'm looking forward to two oceans this year as well.
I can imagine. I mean, just back to the park run. So you say you're expecting it next week sometime. So, I mean, how many on average per day or per week? I don't know if you have those numbers offhand.
Okay, at the moment, last week was 8,000 people joined. This week, at the moment, it looks like it's going to be about 6,500 people will join. There's a rush at the beginning of every January when we call it New Year's Resolution Saturday, where thousands of people come back and think they drank too much and ate too much over the holidays, and they're fat and they need to lose shape. Gain shape. So they join us, and then it tails off. And then through the year, it's probably about 5,000 people a week who join.
There's how many park runs are there now? Do you know around the country?
And it's going to sound really silly because I'm the CEO and I started it here, but it's about 180. And the reason I say it's about 180 is because we've got a couple that are in temporary abeyance. There's a lovely one in Westbury, which the community there adores, but they've got big excavations and building going on, so they're on hold. There's Mahoon Point, which is fantastic in Cape Town, but the local council, the Buffalo City Council, in their wisdom, has stops us running there, so we're having a bit of an ongoing fight with them. But call it 180. But you know, as I said, this week Saturday, Clark Renette joins the family. Then next Saturday, Peter Tief, and the following Saturday, Kraskop, and we just keep going like that. There's more and more coming everywhere. So every little dorky wants one now, so which is fantastic. And the biggest thing about parkrun is nothing to do with the exercise. That's great if people come along and they have a bit of a walk or a run. But the thing we've seen that we are biggest at is that it's about social cohesion. People can't wait to see each other on a Saturday morning. And it's about communities coming together. And when we've got so many people and in government and all sorts of things, people trying to divide us and creating racial tensions, you must see what parkrun do. Yeah. People just hug each other on a Saturday morning. I mean, I told you I was going to wax evangelical, but it is an amazing thing to be part of. And my happiest time is a Saturday morning because it's just so rewarding.
No, please, by all means. So, wax away. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. I haven't done too many park runs. I think I'm at around 30 or 40 now.
Oh, the shame, Derek.
I know. It's not great. But I've probably done about 6 or 7 different venues with about 30 or 40, 40 in total. And my favorite one here in Joburg is at Lone Hill, which I really enjoy. And I often take my daughter, she's 3 years old, and one of my best mates, Hank, he's done a couple of comrades. So then him and I always join together, and he brings his little one. And they end up doing it, but we right at the back, and they're doing it on their push bikes. And is that okay? It's okay if they're on their bikes?
Not really, dude. No. You know, the thing is, one is bikes are tricky because people fall over them. And then secondly, 3 is a little bit old, a little bit young. So, but you know what? Bring them along and let them ride around another area while they're waiting for you, whatever.
Okay. I always wondered about that, funny enough, because people are really, really kind. Yeah. So they don't want to say, hey, no, it's not really on.
No, bikes and people don't mix over.
Yeah.
It's just that, anyway, but so you have a treat ahead of you, you see, because you haven't explored the rest of South Africa, the parkruns that we've got there. I mean, if I had to tell you, in no particular order, but George Parkrun is completely breathtaking. Route 44 in Stellenbosch is mind-boggling in autumn. Cannibal's Cave, which is a Zulu parkrun below the Drakensberg, the wall of the Drakensberg, is so exciting. Century City, which is an urban one, it's like a Monaco Grand Prix of parkrun. That's just wonderful. Springbok in the desert. You know, you can hear Melkbosstrand down the Melkbos beach. That's completely on the beach. And I'm going to leave off some bits, my alma mater. It's fun running through the campus. And, you know, it's always the same. It's 5Ks, it's free, it's a Saturday morning.
Well,
we're looking forward to Graaff-Reinet this weekend because we're on the edge of the Kandibu National Park, the Valley of Desolation. I know it's going to be another stunner.
Oh, that would be. I'm originally from the Eastern Caps. I know Graaff-Reinet once. Okay.
And then, by the way, we're very proud in Mafola Park in Soweto, Bulitando. Some great park runs there where when you see the people warming up, that's the funniest. They've got music playing and they're all touching their toes and jumping up and getting warming up before they do the 5K. I love it.
Oh, man. And you get a park run tourist, if I'm not mistaken. If you do, how many before you get a special?
Yeah, so you're a tourist when you've done 20 different venues.
Okay.
Not 20 different runs, but 20 different venues.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that, yeah, and then you become a tourist, and then you become completely addicted, and you're in a lot of trouble because then you'll get on a plane to go all the way to somewhere for the launch of a park run, miles or thousands of k's away from where you live.
I'm happy to take up the challenge. I think it's a great concept. You say around 180. I think it would be magnificent to try and get as many as one can under the belt. Have you done all of them?
No. For a long time, I had done them all, but now it's becoming impossible because on some weekends, we start two at the same time. So I can tell you that just looking at our board here, because I'm in my office, on the 16th of February, Bronkhorstspruit Park Run will join the family, but so will Jock Trail Park Run, which will be Kruskal. And then on the 22nd of February, Vicksburg in the Free States starting, but so is Homestead Park Run, which is another one in Joburg. So you can see it becomes impossible.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You have to make choices, and I always usually go to the one that's furthest away or the one that I think I'd be most value at. And then if it's a local one, I try and bank it for a Saturday when for some reason or other we don't have a new opening, and then I can go and visit that one. But I'm falling behind. The person who's done the most is Jabum Keys. Jabs, as we call him, from Cape Town, has tried to do every single one, and I think he's about two or three behind.
Wow.
And he lives in Cape Town and thinks nothing of getting on a plane and then driving for hundreds of k's to do Achanais Park Run in the far northern Cape. He will go and do that.
Well, you might see him at Graaff-Reinet this weekend, then.
Oh, no, I will. Yeah. In fact, we're about the same speed, so we tend to run together.
Yeah. Bruce, finally, we're still staying on the subject. Having experienced all these wonderful park runs, what is your favorite? I know it's like asking your favorite child. And what is the toughest that you've run? And then maybe what's the easiest?
Wow. Okay, so this is going to sound corny, but I'm stealing it from park runner Dieter Meyer, who has done the second most number of park runs in South Africa. I think he's close to a total of 400. Dieter says his favorite park run is the one where his friends are running. And I think that's me too. Where my friends are, it doesn't matter what the venue is. The fastest and flattest, if you want to break your PB, St. Francis, in Cape St. Francis, is very quick. Rondebosch Common, two left of Rondebosch Common down in Cape, and Walvis Bay in Namibia. That is really quick. Alongside that, the ocean, there's no wind, and it's very cool, and it's flat, flat, flat. But the only thing is, as you're running, you may have to duck all the flamingos that take off because you're scared then. The toughest, without a doubt, is 1,000 Hills in Bosa's Hill in KZN. And that is, you go down for 1 kilometer, down, down, down into the valley of the shadow of death, I like to say, and then you have to come up for 4Ks. So for 4Ks, you just switch back to coming up. And when we first started that park run, I told the organizers it wouldn't be suitable. It's just too hard and it's not going to work. You can't think of elite athletes, trail runners like Ryan Sands. You've got to think of Tani Mildred Labuschagne, who's large and slow, and she doesn't want to struggle. And we were going to change the route or close it down, but every single person who did it said, no, we absolutely loved it. They loved the challenge. So Thousand Hills has become a badge of honor that if you're a park owner, you have to tick it. You have to do it at least once. Yeah. So that's without a doubt the toughest.
Oh, man, so many wonderful park runs. You've got me on an absolute mission.
You're in trouble because you've only done six different things.
You're
in a lot of trouble.
No, you're right, I am. So I'm going to definitely change my ways. And Bruce, let's keep in touch. I'd love to we'll do the a live podcast out at the opening of one that's around Joburg, or maybe, who knows, or somewhere in South Africa. But we'll keep in touch with your whereabouts, where you will be at the next opening, and maybe we can join up.
Yeah, so one thing is for sure, every Saturday I am at a park run, with the exception of two Saturdays in the year. One is the Two Oceans, which I love, and I'm always there, and unfortunately it clashes with park run. And the other one is the Skukuza Kruger Park Half Marathon, which I run every year, and that is also on a Saturday. But otherwise, the other 50 Saturdays of the year I'm park running.
Brilliant. Well, I look forward to seeing you. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Eric.
Have a great trip down to Graaf Reinet, and send my regards down to the Karoo.
Yes, your part of the world, yeah.
Love it. Cheers, okay. Bruce. Gonna hit the ground running. So on the show, apart from exclusive interviews with famous names like Bruce Fordyce, we'll also have reviews and previews of races, and we'll also have regular features. First up, a look at some new tech that will make your running life a bit easier.
The Tech Session with Steve Hill.
Right, we are crossing now to Steve Hill, a man of many talents, especially when it comes to running. He is a veteran of a couple of Comrades Marathons. I think it's three now, including doing back-to-back a few years ago. He's also a man who loves his tech, especially when it comes to running. So every week we're going to be catching up with Steve and talk about anything new that's out there that you can incorporate into your running game, be it at home, being out on the road, or even trail running, whatever. But Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Derek. It will be three Comrades in June, hopefully.
Ooh, two, but they were back-to-back, eh?
Yeah, correct.
And you just completed, I think, your first marathon of the year at the famous one, Johnson Crane.
Johnson Crane High Marathon. Yeah, went very well yesterday. Early start to the day, and I got myself a personal best, which is what I was aiming for. I finally broke that magical four-hour mark. I think for many runners, that's like a psychological barrier. For me, definitely. So it's done. I'm qualified for Comrades, ready to go. Now the hard work starts.
Jeez, and that was your first attempt at a marathon to qualify for Comrades since the last Comrades, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, correct. I haven't run a marathon since April 2017, for almost 2 years.
Wow, jeez, that's incredible. Well done. And, okay, so now I gave the intro. You do really enjoy tech. You're always letting me know about the latest stuff that's out there. I never really make use of it. But you certainly are the best guy for this. What can you kick us off with this time around?
So, yeah, tech for me is at the heart of running. I would never run 5Ks without tech. I started with, they used to do these little pods that you put in your shoes and then they sensed your steps. And I found those weren't very accurate. And technology has evolved. That was quite a while ago. It's evolved. They've now built those into apps. And then slowly on your phones, the pods and all those kind of things disappeared because your phone is a walking GPS. You can get apps from many manufacturers. You can do anything you want to do in running, similar to the watches. But if you're just starting out, I would recommend using an app from anybody that you can find for running. But the one that I really use, and I've used it since early on in my running career, is Runkeeper. It works with almost every smartwatch, every kind of technological thing that you can think of for running. They've incorporated in there. So it's quite a good app, and it's, like I said, universal and generic.
You say that there are a couple of running apps out there. I know I've toyed with a few, but Runkeeper, funny enough, is one of the ones that I use. What sets it apart from the rest?
There is a very, very good basic package where you don't have to spend a cent. And for somebody who's starting out, who wants to get a feel for running, who wants to track their runs, their overall mileage, their weekly mileage, their monthly mileage, yearly mileage. It does all of that for you for nothing. You don't have to spend a cent. You can link your watch. You can just run with the phone strapped to your arm. It picks up the GPS. It works very well. It allows you to do playlists. And it's a simple setup. You can track the shoes that you're wearing. I mean, I'm mentioning all the kind of things now that most runners will get to maybe as a newbie or somebody who's not so familiar with running. You only looking at some of them. Maybe you just want to see how far you're running. But I mean, as you get further into it, you want to know how far your shoes have gone. Maybe you've got a favorite playlist. And then as you push it on further, they also incorporate training plans. And then, like I said, this is the free version. They do have a premium version where you can get full on training plans. You can set goals and targets and work towards something, and all of this in a simple app. They also have basic training plans that come free, but it's a general app that can do almost everything you want in running right up there up front, and it works with everything. It's simple and easy to use, and I think for somebody starting out, that would be a fantastic thing to get hold of. And it's on iOS and Android platforms as well, so that covers everything.
And if you do use it for the first time, you say you don't need to splurge on any cash, and then you can also use it just as is, just with your phone. Hey, you don't need to link it up to a watch or anything else. I mean, it can operate by itself.
Yes, correct. You create yourself a profile, and you make sure you've got GPS connectivity, and off you go. Simple.
Brilliant stuff. So just repeat it again. What's it called?
It's called Runkeeper.
Runkeeper. Okay. Well, keep on running, Steve. When's your next race?
This weekend, I do believe I'm doing a 21-kilometer run, and I think you might be joining me.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best. If I can work up my timetable, I will be there. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago where I did my first ever race at Bobby's. It was a 5K. It was my first race ever in Johannesburg. So I'd like to return for my third time. The last time I ran Bobby's was 2 years ago. I did the half. So I'll be looking to try it again soon.
Greenstone Bobby's, nothing less than half this year for Derek Elvis.
There we go. Thanks, Steve-O.
Cheers. Gonna hit the ground running.
From one comrade's marathoner to another. Now, this man is by no means an expert, but he's getting there. My friend Darren, who's like you and me, he's just a regular guy looking to conquer another comrade while juggling life along the way.
Q-Ball's Comrades Corner.
Right, a couple of months to go before we head towards the grail of running. It is the Comrades Marathon, of course, whether you are a road runner, a trail runner, or a mountain runner, any runner really. You've always got comrades at the back of your mind. It is the showpiece event in South Africa when it comes to running, and one of the biggest in the world. Of course, it is the biggest ultra marathon in the world. We have on the line Q-Ball Darren Brahm, good friend of mine who has done plenty of comrades marathons, just missed out last year, but he is determined to do it again this time around. Darren, how many comrades have you completed?
Derek has it, yes. I've completed 7 now.
7, wow. And, oh man, heartbreaking stuff last year. Tell us what happened.
You know what? It started to fall apart at around about 70Ks. Personally, I think I'd done too much training, believe it or not. I fell into the trap of doing too much distance and not enough quality work. Got to 70Ks and the legs came apart. So it was a struggle from there on into the finish. I managed to cross the finish line, but unfortunately, the time had passed by the time I got there.
You make a very good point about training too hard, because to the layman out there, including me, you'd hear that and you think, well, that's impossible. You can't possibly train too hard. But, I mean, I've been with you the last couple of years where you have been training just generally, but last year when you were going for Comrades 2018, I mean, I've never seen you run as much as you had over the course, in the build-up to the 2018 event. And knowing other friends that have done Comrades, I mean, they paled in comparison to your training. And, I mean, you're a fit guy. You're exceptionally fit now. But yet, sometimes it will just come back and bite you in the arse.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think a lot of people get caught in that trap of overtraining. It's such a fine balance of trying to find
the right amount of distance to do. Most people are going to be scared to do too little distance. You'll hear most of the top runners or the Bruce Fordyces will always be saying, you've got to put a lot of distance on your legs. You've got to train that you run on tired legs. Personally, I'm going to try a new tactic this year and go a little bit less distance and maybe try do more quality work, definitely more yield. Obviously, this year is the uprun, not my favorite. So I'll definitely be trying to train the legs to handle the yields because the yields of Comrade, especially in the second half of the uprun, it's really, really difficult.
So 6 months away from Comrades 2019, it's on the 9th of June. You mentioned it's the uprun. So starting from Durban side, heading towards Pietermaritzburg, where would you like to be in your training right now? And I say you, I mean the colloquial you, including everyone listening. Whereabouts would you like to be headed? I mean, is it okay to come off Christmas having feasted massively on gammon and turkey and the rest and having not taken one step on the road, and you can head into Comrades 2019 confident if you say start tomorrow?
You know what? When I was younger, yes, you could start in January and then probably make it. Where I'd like to be now is definitely not where I am, I'll be honest with you. I should have at least run my marathon, my qualifier. I feel I should have run my qualifying marathon this month. Looks like I'm going to have to postpone that because I'm a little bit behind. I reckon I'm about 2 or 3 weeks behind in training. So ideally, I'd like to have done the marathon and qualified. Most of the people ran their qualifying marathon this weekend, which shows that the majority of the Comrades runners are around about marathon mark now, where I'm at the moment sort of half marathon mark, if that, at the moment. But I'm not too stressed about that because, like I said, I want to have less distance, more quality this year. So I'm training more to speed up a little bit. So at the moment, even though I'm 2 or 3 weeks behind, I'm not panicking yet. I'll start panicking when I get closer to Comrades, I reckon.
For those that haven't been at a Comrades Marathon, which includes myself, I'm ashamed to say, just tell us what makes it so special. It's the 94th running of this incredible event, and it'll be the 48th time that it's doing the uprun. And from everyone that I speak to, you especially, it is something, it's a bucket list event, not just necessarily for runners.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, personally, Comrades was always going to be on my radar from a youngster. I mean, obviously, everybody watches the Comrades. It was a main fixture in our house. My mom and I would watch that religiously every year. I even went as far as going to Bruce Fordyce's house to get his to do a school speech. So basically, my dream was always to run Comrades. And then in 2000, I did my first Comrades. I finished that one, and 2001 then went back and did my back-to-back and finished that. Unfortunately, 2002 was the first disaster year where I missed the cutoff of 60 meters. But like you asked, I mean, it's such a special race. Only a person that runs it, I mean, the day itself is extremely difficult. You battle from most of the way. It's a tough race. It's a tough course. For me personally, when you put your foot on that grass, that feeling, I don't think, I cannot explain the feeling. I think most Comrades runners will understand what I'm saying. It's just as you put your foot on that grass, it's just that whole 6 months of really dedicated training that all comes together in that last 400 meters. The crowds are just phenomenal. It's just like a cauldron of noise when you run into that stadium. Every runner feels like a winner. There's never been a year I've run in and finished that. And even saying that, even the year that I didn't finish and ran into the stadium the two times, you feel like a champion. The spectators make you feel like you've won the Comrades. So from the person that finishes first to the person that comes in last, everybody's made to feel special.
Now you put in those days and months of training and you go and you take on the Comrades. It's an entire day's affair. Blood, sweat, and tears. You make it through to the end and you get your medal. You get the massive reward. Now, you've got an incredible story in that you don't have any medals anymore.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, like I said, the Comrades for me was a very personal thing, especially with my mom. So we made it. I mean, we would literally get up every morning, watch the Comrades. And I actually, when I was still in the trick, my mom got cancer. And at the time, while she was having her chemo and radiation, I made her a promise that I would actually run the Comrades one day, but she must be at the finish line, which she agreed to. After that, it actually never materialized for quite a while, and then she got cancer again, and it was quite severe where they removed her jaw and tongue. And again, I made the promise that if she comes through with it, I'd run the Comrades, which that was in 98. And then it took me another 2 years, and I did it in the 2000s. And she was at the finish line, and I finished the Comrades. The funny thing about that is every year that my mother's been down at the Comrades Marathon, I've actually finished the Comrades. And every year that she hasn't been at the finish line, I haven't finished the Comrades, which is it's like a monkey on my back at the moment that I'm trying to get off. So, yeah, unfortunately, my mom passed away in 2015, December. And I just felt that at the time she had been the reason I'd finished all my Comrades. And so, yeah, I put all my Comrades medals into her coffin. So I'm chasing my first personal medal at the moment, you could say.
Oh, what a story. The magic of the Comrades. Yeah, so sorry for the loss of your mom. And yes, hoping that you do go on to get your first medal since her passing. Darren, we'll be catching up with you every week following your progress. And also, we'd love to get insights and information and tips from your side as to the listeners, as far as their progress is concerned, if they want to go and finish this magical race that is the Comrades Marathon.
No, great. Definitely. I look forward to it. The best advice I can give at the moment is if anybody wants to finish it, don't run too close to me because I've at the moment got a 50% success rate. So if I miss it this year, it's going to be looking pretty bad. So don't run around me because there's a possibility you couldn't finish. Gonna hit the ground running.
Thank you very much, Darren Cueball Brahm. No surprises why his nickname's Cueball. It's not because he's got a full head of hair. Him and I, incidentally, looked at starting a running club a couple of years ago called the Cormac Chameleons. Managed to get it registered, but logistically, it was just too tough a deal. And, yeah, we really struggled to get it off the ground. He then went on to another running club called Run Zone.
Club commitments.
Welcome to Club Commitments. This is where we look over clubs, running clubs, all around South Africa. Plenty in Johannesburg, and there's one that a lot of my friends frequent, Run Zone. Now, I only heard about it for the first time towards the beginning of last year. We were in a different club at the time, but then they found this one, and they said this was the one to go to, so it piqued my interest. I've done a little bit of research on them, and they've proved to be increasingly popular, and they tout it as the People's Club, and I can see why. On the line, we're chatting to Candice Libber, Vice Chairperson of Run Zone. Candice, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a bit more about your club.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. Yes, well, like you say, Run Zone has become the recent club of choice just due to the fact that we call ourselves the People's Running Club, and that's really what we are. Where we try to give the people a running club that they would like.
How many members do you currently have, a roundabout figure, if you don't know offhand?
Okay, well, toward the end of last year, we're just over a year old, and at the end of 2018 October, we signed off on 669 members. However, this year we have been taking on quite a lot of members, and I think we're now approaching the 1,000 mark. If we take all our renewals into consideration, plus the new additions.
That's an astounding number, especially given the fact that, as you said, you've only been around for a little over a year. How do you accommodate everyone, and how does the club actually work? Do you have a headquarters? How frequently do you guys meet, etc.?
Okay, well, we meet every single weekend, Saturday and Sundays. The core of our running club is our weekend club runs. We meet every single weekend. We accommodate two times, half past 5 and 6 o'clock, and all distances from 5 to 20Ks, and obviously leading up to marathons, we go right up to 35Ks and so on. And I think that's really what attracts the numbers and what attracts the people. And, you know, how do we keep up? Well, what we do is we just we just keep trying to accommodate and remain innovative and listening to the people to see what it is they want. They want routes, they want runs, they want distance, they want water points, they want support, they want training programs, they want clothes, they want a number of things. And that's just what we try to do.
Many factors to take into account. I know that I dabbled a little while in organizing a running club. I think I gave it up after about 2 weeks, and I realized that admin-wise, it was just too much to bear.
How are you managing that? Yes, no. Look, it is a kind of a job that is not for everybody. It's not for the faint-hearted. However, I always say it's self-inflicted. In other words, it's really what we want, it's what we do, it's what we love. And it definitely has its challenges, but I think our attitude to that is how can we overcome every challenge we get? And we always feel that there's a way to solve every problem, and we find a way to manage through it. We do have an absolute lot of assistance at the moment. In the first year, we started off with a handful of people to manage it. And then when we knew where we were heading by the end of the year, we went full on to arrange a proper operational committee. And I'm so glad we've done that because, I mean, they've just been hands-on from when they were elected last year. And I see us, you know, running with that and just continuing to get people involved and to carry on assisting the load of the workload.
I know one of the major commitments when starting or having a running club is to organize races annually. What races do you have under the belt?
Okay, well, we have a fun run planned for Valentine's week on the 13th of February. We've decided that it's a fun run, it's a night run, and it's a trail run. So it will be on Wednesday evening, which is the day that we usually host our time trials, and it's going to be at the Rand Park Golf Course. That is a 5K and an 8 kilometer. And then, of course, our annual race, which we put on for the first time last year and will be the second one this year, is the Ranzone Northern Chase. And that is going to be at Marks Park on the 24th of March. Last year, we held it at the Bararia Recreation Center, and we outgrew that very quickly. So we've tried to put it at a venue where it will be more accommodating for future events. And, yeah, that will be on the 24th of March.
Oh, lovely. And you mentioned water points. I know that that's been a highlighted feature when chatting to friends of mine with regards to organized time trials with you guys, in that there's always water points along the route, which isn't necessarily a common denominator at other time trials.
Yes, of course. Now, the development of the water table has actually come a long way. It really initially started, I don't know if you know the story, with Graham Block out of his boot with his bottle of cream soda and water and that kind of thing, and moving along the route with the runners. And then it ended up being a track, and then we'd have a couple of, you know, and then there was added treats on there with juice and biscuits and so on. And basically what we used to do was we used to have mobile water points whereby the runners used to just, the track would lead and the runners would, you know, run along, and then we'd keep catching up to the track and having water along the route. However, as the numbers grew over the years, you know how it goes. There's always somebody at the back, somebody at the front. You don't know whether you can keep up with the front runners. You want to accommodate them. You want to keep up with the back runners. You want to accommodate them. And so we started putting down water points at the garages. And then it's actually just become a thing now that we do it every 5Ks. And we put down water points on all our routes every 5Ks. And it's become a thing that it assists with more than just providing the runners with stuff, but also it's a point of safety, it's a point of checking in, it's just it helps with also turnaround points on our routes and that kind of thing. And if our routes are doing, sometimes they do loops, then, you know, we go past the same points. And, yeah, like I say, it's just become a thing of what we do now and what runners do expect. It also takes away that burden of them of running with their own water bottles and running belts and all that kind of thing,
yeah,
which you don't need to do in races anymore.
Yeah, I think it's a lovely feature. When it was explained to me, I thought, well, That definitely would be my running club of choice from now on. But you say you're reaching the four-figure mark in terms of membership. Do you still have place available for more? And if so, how do people go about joining you guys?
Okay, well, yes, we do. We don't, like last year, we don't turn away people at all. We've had, I think, only 2 weeks out of a whole year last year where nobody signed up. So we accept membership constantly. But we'll obviously have to we'll have to accommodate new runners with licenses according to what's available with what's given to us. But if anybody wants to join us, all they need to do is phone, go to our website. We have an amazing website, runzone.co.za. That's where you can get most of your starting information as well as our contact details. You can contact myself or Graham and drop an email to admin@runzone.co.za. And that's where we will invite you to fill out our membership form and attend one of our club runs. We also don't need to be a member to join our club runs. You don't need to be a member of the club. However, after some time, if you feel left out, you may want to join in so that you can also share in the family vibe. But, yeah, that's what you can do is also just attend the run to see what it's about. And if you like it, you can take it from there.
Thanks so much, Candice. We'll see you at your next event, the Run Zone Valentine's Laser Light Night Trial. That's on the 13th of February, taking place at Rand Park Golf Course. She mentioned, if you want to get involved, you want to join, log on to runzone.co.za. It is a fantastic website, undoubtedly one of the best out there when it comes to running clubs. Candice, thanks so much and happy running.
All right. Thank you so much for having us and happy running to you too.
Thank you very much to Candice. What an incredible initiative Run Zone is. But it is one of many, many clubs out in South Africa, and they're all doing great work. So congratulations to all and sundry. We'll be looking at another one next week. If there's one that you'd like featured, give us a ring. Let us know at DerekAlberts1 or info@radar.media. And we'll do our best to cover all the clubs, your favorite clubs, as we get this podcast rolling along. This is just episode one, so plenty more to look forward to. Anything else you'd like featured, again, just let us know. We are here for you. Thanks for everyone getting involved. Thanks to Darren. Thanks to Steve. Thanks to the contributors, as well as a big thank you to Bruce Fordyce. Man, what a legend. Very keen to get those park runs, more park runs under my belt. And yeah, what a nice challenge to set out to the listeners. If there's if you're really, really keen to take it up a notch, who knows, maybe we can look forward to that century of park runs. It's a long way to go, especially for me, but if there's 180 out there, it shouldn't be too tough. Just going to take quite a while. Cheers. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Run Hunter, brought to you by Raider Media.